Okay, today's daf is Becharos daf Mem Tes. We left off on daf Mem Ches Amud Beis at the Gemara. We just sped through the long Mishnah, and we're going to pick up from the Gemara. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We again thank him so very much for the sponsorship. So the Mishnah that we saw yesterday had 9 different cases of Suffolk Bechar. So the Gemara is going to add one more. What if you have 2 men that are married to 2 different women, each of them never had a baby before, and next thing you know, there are 3 babies, but 2 of them are boys, 1 of them is a girl, you don't know what order they were born in, whose baby is who, so what do you do about Pidyon HaBen in that case? And the Gemara is going to discuss why it is that the Mishnah didn't mention that case. We mentioned every other possible permutation. Then the new Mishnah on Mem Tes Amar Alav is going to talk about what happens if Rachmana Litzlan, the baby dies. What happens if it dies before day 30? What happens if it dies after day 30? And what happens if it dies on day 30? Then the next Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to talk about what happens if the father dies. Do we assume that he already did Pidyon HaBen, or do we not assume that he already did Pidyon HaBen? And the Mishnah is also going to talk about a situation of who liftos, u b'no liftos. What if a person only has Chamish Slayim, but he has an option of either being poda himself, he never received the Pidyon HaBen and he's a Bechar, or to be poda his son, which Chiyuv comes first? And the Gemara is going to talk about whether Pidyon can work Talk Shloshim. Is it possible to do a Pidyon HaBen within 30 days? And we're going to have a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel if Pidyon HaBen B'Tok Shloshim can work Al Manas that it's going to be Chal later on Li'achar Shloshim, and then the money is not there anymore Li'achar Shloshim. The Gemara is going to bring Rayas, and we're going to bring a Psak Halacha and a general Klal and Psak when you have a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the details of that case of who liftos, ubno liftos. What are the circumstances where there's a machlokas about what to do, and in which circumstances would we say everybody would agree about what to do? And then the Mishnah at the end of the page, we'll see if we get to it, discusses figuring out the value of Pidyon HaBen money in modern times, except not modern times, but Mishnah modern times, meaning the times of the Mishnah, how exactly we cheshbon the Pidyon HaBen money. So let's begin. We're at the Gemara on the bottom of Mem Chesem Beis. So the Mishnah had given us a case where you have 2 women married to 2 different men. Neither of these women had ever had a child before, and now there are 2 baby boys, and one of them dies within Shloshim Yom. So if both fathers gave Pidyon HaBen money to the same Kohen, so the Kohen's got a refund 5 Slayim. But if they gave them to 2 different Kohanim, then neither Kohen has to refund the money, because each Kohen could say, I received the Pidyon HaBen money of the surviving child that's Chayiv and Pidyon HaBen. It must be the other Kohen that got from the Nefel, and he has to return the money. So says Gemara, well, Maishna Shnei Kohanim, Dazel Gabehayim Matchilei, Vazel Gabehayim Matchilei. Why is it only when there are 2 Kohanim do we say that they don't have to refund the money, because each one can be Docha that, must have been the other Kohen that got for the Nefel? Well, Kohen Echonami, even if they both gave to the same Kohen, when one father comes to receive his refund, so why can't the Kohen say, let the Kohen say to one father, no, your son is the surviving son, and therefore I get to keep your Pidyon HaBen money, let the other guy come and claim money, and he'll tell the other guy the same thing. So why can't we say the same idea? So Amar Shmuel explains, the Baba Harsha'a, the case is these 2 fathers team up together and they write a harsha'a, and they say to each other, either you can collect on your own behalf or collect on my behalf. And then one of the fathers can come and say, Mimanafshach, you have to give me the money back. You claim that I'm the father of the surviving child, good, but I now have a harsha'a, power of attorney, that I am here on behalf of the other father. And then the Kohen is going to have to give the money back. So says Gmar Varamin Ardai, Lo Kasvina Nadracht, but didn't the Naradoi tell us that you don't write a shtar hasha'a on collection of metaltalin? Why is that? So that happens to be that there are 2 deos in the sugya in Maseches Baba Kama as to why it is that we don't write our shah on metaltalin. The second lashon, which is the more simple one, is that maybe the toveya doesn't have anything by the nitva, and the edim are signing on our shah. Looks like edus sheker, that here you're giving him power of attorney over what? It could be that there's nothing, that you're not giving him power of attorney over anything, because he's not owed any money. So the harsha'a is going L'chora should not work on the Chamesh Shlaim that are in that the Kohen has, because they are Metaltalin, and we don't write a Harsha'a on Metaltalin. There is a Machlokas Rishonim what Harsha'a is exactly. The Baal Amor Maseches Baba Kama writes that it's like Shlichus for everything, that I'm making you my Shliach for whatever you need to be mashliach for. Meaning normally shlichus is much more targeted. I'm asking you to do this maisa for me, but it's a much broader shlichus. Shlichus for everything. The Ramban in the Milchamos disagrees. He said it's not just a shlichus. It's a hakna'a, that I'm giving you a kinyan in my nechasim. Meaning that money that we're being done on, it's yours now. It's not. It's a partial hakna'a on the money, and that's why you're able to be the bal dvarim. The guy can't tell you, no, love bal dvarim. I don't want to deal with the shliach, I want to deal with the guy who really owns the money. Says Ramban, you are the guy that owns the money, because that's the nature of what Harsha'a is. But we do not do Harsha'a metaltlin, and therefore the Gemara is asking, how does Harsha'a work when it comes to Pidyon HaBen? Tosos quotes Rabbeinu Tam that the halacha is not like an ardai, that we in fact do write Harsha'a on metaltlin, because it's muchach in the sugi and ksubastav pehei that we're not choshesh for mechsi kishikra. If the whole reason we don't write Harsha'a metaltlin is because of Mechzi Keshikra, and the Sugin Ksuba says that we're not Choshesh for Mechzi Keshikra in general, so then says Tosos, it must be that we do write Ashar Metaltalin. So Tosos writes in Masechus Baba Kama as well, and nevertheless he says, why does the Gemara ask then on our Mishnah from this statement of Nardai, if we don't paskin like Nardai anyway? He says a lot of times the Gemara will do that, because the Nardai had to learn the Mishnah too, so it must be that that there was a way to learn this Mishnah, l'chala deos, even those deos that we don't paskin like. That's what Tosfos says. The Rashba says that we do paskin like Nardai, and he rejects the Raya that Tosfos brings from Maseches Ksuvos. But either way, whether we pass like them or not, the Gemara is asking Kasha from them. We just made an Ukimta in our Mishnah that they are writing our Shah, and that's why the fathers can get the refund from the Kohen on Chamesh Shlaim, because one of these babies didn't make it to Yom Shloshim, didn't make it to 30 days old. It's because they wrote our Shah with each other. So Abai thought, you know, let's write our Shah Metaltan according to Nardai. Answers Gemara, Hani Mili Hecha de Kafre. When do we say you're not allowed to write our Shah Metaltan? That's when the person who you're claiming the money from is kofer the chov. But if he doesn't deny the chov, he admits that he owes the money, he just doesn't think you can prove who he owes it to. But of course, if there were two babies for whom he received Pidyon HaBen, and one of them died b'toch shloshim, there's nothing to discuss. Of course he owes the money. His whole taina is hamotzi mechaver alav raya, that you're the guy that I owe it to. So in such a case, we would write our shah on metaltlin, because in such a case, it's not nira kesheker, it's not Mechzi Keshikra. So therefore, the father could write Arshah, one father could write Arshah to the other one to collect the Pidyon HaBen money. And then the Mishnah had said, two women, two men, neither of the women had given birth before, and then Zachar and Akeva. And you find that there's a boy, there's a girl, and you don't know who belongs to who. So both of the fathers are Pata from Pidyon HaBen, but the child is going to have to be Poda Es Atzmo. The boy knows that he's a Bechar, because there were two babies, one born to each mother. He just doesn't know which mother is his, but he knows that he's a Petarechem, so the boy is going to be Chayv in Pidyon HaBen when he grows older. And if there are Shtei Nekevos and one Zachar, or Shtei Nekevos and Shtei Zacharim, so the Mishnah said, Ein Kan L'Kohen Klum, then we don't even know that there's a Chayv in Pidyon HaBen. Once there are two girls in the mix, it could be that both girls are the firstborns, and therefore there is no Pidyon HaBen. But there's one case that we didn't mention in the Mishnah. Tan Rav Huna, so Rav Huna taught a Braisa that Shnei Zucharim Unakeva ain't Kan L'Kohen Klum. Let's say there are two boys, one girl. So now you know for sure that there is a Chiv of Pidyon HaBen, but neither father is going to be Chayv in Pidyon HaBen, because either father could say, maybe the girl is mine and she was born first, she was born before the son, even though I know one of the boys is mine, but the girl is mine and she was born first. So since either father can claim that, they don't have to do Pidyon HaBen. And neither of the boys, when they grow up, has to do Pidyon HaBen, because they say, yes, one of us is a Bechar, but who says it's me? Maybe I'm I'm the younger brother of an older sister, and the other guy is a Bechor. So since neither of them can be proven to be a Bechor, Hamotzi Mechaveiro Olav Haraya. So says the Gemara, why didn't our time think of that one? Why do we have to add that in a Braisa? We had 9 different cases in our Mishnah. We couldn't add one more. V'tana didan, kevan de b'shnei anashim udu mishkachasla. Since the only case you'd be potter, where it's 2 boys and a girl, is if there are 2 separate husbands, but if it was 1 husband to 2 women, the father would be chayiv in that case, because he doesn't have to know which of his sons is a Bechor in order to do Pinyin HaBen. He just has to know that one of his sons is a Bechor. So b'shechar l'shtei nashim lo mishkachasla. Since we only find this case to work when there are 2 separate husbands and not when it's 1 husband of 2 wives, so lo masinle. That's why we didn't mention in our Mishnah, because our Mishnah had parallel cases. It had cases where it was 1 husband and where it was 2 husbands. This case doesn't work for 1 husband. It only works when there are 2 husbands, and that's why it doesn't get mentioned in the Mishnah, and we only add it in the Braisa. Okay, new Mishnah. The Mishnah discusses what happens if Rachmana Litzlan meis haben b'toch shloshim yom. So if the child dies, the Bechor dies, so if it's b'toch shloshim yom, if it's within 30 days of his birth, afal pi shenasan l'kohen, even if the father already gave the pidyon haben money to the Kohen, yachsir. The Kohen has to return the money, because if he dies b'toch shloshim yom, it turns out that he was a Nefel, and therefore there was no Chiv Pinya Ben. La'achar Shloshim Yom, but if he dies after he's already survived 30 days from birth, afal pi shelo nasan yitain. Even if the father has not yet given the money, he now has to give the money. Right? We explained that if it's betoch shloshim yom, it's because the baby's a nefel. Tosos just add, that's how Rashi says. Tosos says that that's not the reason it's part. It's just exeris hakasim that he not chayiv pidyon haben ad shimalo shloshim yom, until he's 30 days old. So that seems to be a fundamental disagreement between Rashi and Tosos. Then the second case, if he dies after 30 days, we said even if you haven't yet paid, you're going to have to pay after the baby is dead. Can you imagine such a sad pidyon haben, that they're doing a pidyon haben on a baby that is already deceased because he survived for 30 days? In fact, Tosos raises a suffix. What kind of bracha do you make on that? Right, a birchas mitzvah l'chor, of course you're going to make, you're doing a mitzvah. But do you say a shechianu on such a pidyon haben? L'chor, it's something that would bring about great sadness. Shechianu is a mitzvah, is a bracha of simcha. So maybe you do say a shechianu when you're poda, because you normally say shechianu on pidyon haben, and the mitzvah is still a mitzvah that's rare, comes up very rarely, and therefore you're excited about the mitzvah. Maybe you say no, it brings up this idea of the tsar, even a mitzvah that reminds me of tsar, even though it's an exciting mitzvah to do, but it reminds me of tsar. Maybe that's why you wouldn't have a shechianu. That's what some of the rishonim explain, why we don't have shechianu on Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer, we're so excited. What's wrong with doing Sfiras HaOmer? It's a very happy mitzvah to do. Yeah, but it reminds me of the fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and that's why I say Rachman Yachzalon of us Beis HaMikdash Kom Merv Yameinu. We say this Rachman right afterwards. It reminds me of the fact that we don't have the mitzvah d'Oraisa anymore. We only have the mitzvah d'Rabbanon according to the Rishonim that we paskin like. So since it reminds me of Tzar, I'm not going to say Shechianu on something that reminds me of Tzar. But as far as Birchas HaMitzvah is concerned, the Rama writes in Yardeh Simon Shinhei Sifyud Beis that of course you have to say Birchas HaMitzvah on the Pidyon. So in Birchas Shmuel in Kiddush and Simon Yerches, he explains that even La'achar Misas Ha'av, there's still a chiyuv of Pidya, but since when he gives the Kohen the money, he's mekayim the mitzvah, the bracha of tzivanus to be mekayim the mitzvah, it's shayich to be mevarich when you're mekayim the mitzvah, even if he's not yet chayiv by, even if he's not going to be chayiv in the mitzvah. So we don't care that the chiyuv of the mitzvah is no longer present. You could still recite the bracha. I mean, I think what he's saying is that even though the child is no longer present and the child is the mechayev, you would still say a bracha, a birchas mitzvah, because it is still an actual kiyum mitzvah that you are doing. The mitzvah is the bracha. It relates to the ma'isa mitzvah, and you are most certainly doing a ma'isa mitzvah. Then the Mishnah has the third case. Meis biyom shloshim. What if he dies on day 30? So Tanakhama says kiyom shalafanav. That counts as dying like on day 29, and there's no chiyuv pidyon haben. If you already paid it, you get your money back. Rabbi Kiva Omer im nasan liital v'im lo nasan liyitain. Now on day 30, it's sort of in between. If you haven't yet paid it, you don't pay Pidyon HaBen, but if you have already paid it, you do not get your money back. There is an interesting discussion in Poskim. What happens if a baby makes it to 30 days in an incubator? Do we assume that that's considered a nephel that didn't make it 30 days? Or the incubator is like a continuation of the rechem, but it's not considered to be a surviving baby? Or do you say, no, an incubator is just one of the darkei harafua that we have at our disposal nowadays? Say, nechinami, a baby would have died within 30 days before we invented incubators, but this is just one of the ways, you know, there are lots of medication that we could probably give a baby that will give it a better chance of survival for a longer time that they didn't always have. And it's like a medicine. It's not a continuation of the rechem. So Rav Zilberstein first thinks to compare this to this idea of a continuation of the pregnancy outside of the mother's rechem from the case in the Seches Chulin Daf Ayin Amar Aleph, where Hidbik Shnei Rechamim V'yatzim Izeh V'nichmas L'zeh Mahu, where if, let's say, you have two animals, one of them is pregnant and the other one's not, and one animal and they stand right next to each other, up against each other, and one animal gives birth into the other animal. So the baby goes from one animal directly into the other animal. So the Gemara discusses as far as petarechem of the behema. So do we assume that that's considered a bechar behema? And whose bechar is it? Is it the first one's bechar, the second one's bechar? Okay, so that's obviously that can't ever happen. In fact, that last week when we were by Rav Schechter at the OU office, a group of junior high school boys came to the OU office, and he spoke to them, and he was explaining to them they have to pay attention to every detail, every case that the Gemara has, because even the cases that you think have no relevance whatsoever and could never happen, very often for thousands of years they will in fact have no relevance. For 1,000 years they'll have no relevance, but then something will happen and you'll say, oh, that's that case, and now it's going to be relevant every single day. I mean, for 1,000 years it never once happened, now it happens every single day. So he gave this example. Yeah, you have a pregnancy that started in one animal and continued in another animal, so for 1,000 years nothing ever happened like that. And then all of a sudden we have surrogacy, we have incubators, we have these shilas that are meisim b'chol yom, they happen every single day. Then Rabbi Zilberstein says, there's a big difference between that case in Chulin and our case over here. When a baby is born and then put into an incubator, it's exactly what happens. He's born out into the world and then put into an incubator. In the case in the Gemara, it goes directly from one rechem to the other. So that may be a good example of surrogacy, where you have one genetic mother and another gestational mother, right? So who is the real mother? That may be a good mashal for that, but it may not be such a great mashal for this. Rav Eliashiv held that an incubator is just one of the darkei harafua, and therefore the baby would, if it survives 30 days in an incubator, it's already chayiv in pidyon haben. So says Gemara, my time I had rabbanon. Now we had this shita the chum in our mishnah that if it's born on day 30, it's as if it were born early. So I mean, not born on day 30. If it survived until day 30, it died on day 30, it's as if it died before day 30. Where do they get that from? So Gamri Chodesh Chodesh Mi Midbar Pidyon HaBen, the pasuk says Uptuya Mi Ben Chodesh Tifte. And by listing the minion of the Bechoros in the Midbar, in this week's Parsha, in Parsha by Midbar, it says Pekod Kol Bechor Zachar LeBnei Yisrael Mi Ben Chodesh Vamala. So Mahasam, just like Chodesh, and it says in the Midbar, it says Mi Chodesh Vamala Avhacha. So by Chodesh, and it says by Pidyon HaBen Nami Vamala. It means Dafka, the day after. And if it's on the day of the Chodesh, then there's not going to be a chiyuv of Pidyon HaBen. Yom Shloshim is Kilifnei Shloshim. That's how Rashi reads our Gemara. Rabbeinu Gershom explains that really a lunar month is 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 chalakim. 793 out of 1,080 chalakim that there are in an hour. So 793 out of 1,080. So you could do the math. So that's the molar halavana that it takes from one month to the next month. Ma'ala, says the Rabbeinu Gershom, is another day on top of that. So 30 days, 12 hours, and 793 chalakim. And before that, the chiyuv of Pidyon HaBen has not yet been chal. Wow, that. that really pushes it much, much later. The Bach in Yardeas and Shinhei and the Shach in Shinhei Sivkat and Yates say that the Chiyuv is Chal after 29 days, 12 hours, 793 Chalakim. Magen Avram writes from the Mishnah, the Gemara in our Sugya, it seems that the Chiyuv is Chal already at the beginning of the Yom Shloshim Ve'echad, of the 31st day, regardless of whether 29 days, 12 hours, 793 Chalakim have passed. The 31st calendar day that this baby has been on this earth, which is sometimes less than at the beginning of the day, it's less than 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 chalakim. This is a major machlokas haposkim. L'chadchila, we try to wait. We try to make sure that we get it. We do it on day 31, but we do it dafka after 29 days. And that's why the Shach writes, minig is, we just never do pidina ben at night. We should always do Pidyon HaBen during the daytime. That's the minute, because at night, sometimes, you're not yet, even though it's day 31 of the baby's birth, you're not yet past 29 days, 12 hours, 793 Chalakim. So the safest thing is, you do it during the daytime, and then you already know that you're safe. That's the minute that's quoted by the Shach. You've probably been to a Pidyon HaBen at night, or you've seen a Pidyon HaBen being done at night. Yeah, not everyone is so makbid about the minig. They try to fit it into their schedule, and people, their schedules are easier to work out at night than during the daytime. But most correct, l'chora, is really to do like the minig that the Shach says, is really to do it during the daytime. Anyway, so Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva holds that if the baby dies on day Shloshim, and the father already gave the money, then he doesn't get it back. Why? Because Mesafgalei, he's not sure about this Gezeira Shava, because in the Parsha of Arachin that we just read, it says, V'miben Shishim Shana V'mala, Im Zachar Iver Chamisha Asa Shekel. So we see that during the 60th year itself, he's considered like a 59-year-old. So Mide Isrich L'michtav V'mala Gabe Arachin, V'lo Gamri Mimidbar. From the fact that it has to use the word V'mala when it talks about Arachin, and we don't learn from the pasuk that it says by the midbar and the gezer shav of chodesh chodesh, that it always means vamala. So we see the havalush neksum aban kechad, that you have two psukim that tell me the same din, and kol sheksum aban kechad im land, and they both use the word vamala. So maybe vamala only applies in the two cases where the Chumash actually says Vamala, namely by the Bechor by the Bechorim in the midbar and by Arachin, but maybe it doesn't apply to Bidin HaBen. Oh, Dilma, or he's not sure, maybe, Ki en melamdin li'alma, av l'gufaya melamdin. One of those cases is about the Bechorim in the Midbar. So maybe when it comes to defining a Bechor, as far as Pidyon HaBen, that is the same topic. So within that topic, where the Torah actually says Vamala, maybe we will be melamed. That's why he was unsure, and that's why he says whoever has the money right now gets to keep it. Everyone would agree when it comes to avelus, if the child dies on day 30, that yom shloshim ki yom shalafanav, that that's considered that the child died before day 30. So just like if he were to die before day 30, there would be no avelus because he would be considered a nefel. So too, if he dies on day 30, he's considered a nefel, and even Rabbi Akiva, who holds that when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, it's a suffix. We always follow Divrei Mekel Ba'avel, which means not only when it's machlokas, even when it's a suffix. That by a suffix in Hilchos Avelus we go Lekula. Rabbi Kiva's whole basis was a suffix, so therefore we can go Lekula on that suffix. Now it happens to be there's the sugya in Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Vav discusses what if the baby dies of natural causes, right? If he dies in a natural way, then everyone would agree that it's a nefel. I mean, B'toch Shloshim Yom. But what if the baby doesn't die in a natural way? He's Nafal Me'agag, Achlo Ari, right? Something happens that would have killed the healthiest baby in the entire world, right? So it's not a clear result of him being a Nefel. So that's a Machlokas Tanaim. The Chacham say that he's not a Nefel, and Rishon Gamliel says that he's Becheskas Nefel. Till he makes it to day 30, he's Becheskas Nefel. Okay, but we're assuming in our case, the Chaladeos, certainly if he dies of natural causes, then our Mishnah's case works. Now the Mishnah discusses, and what happens if the father dies? Do we assume that a Pidyon HaBen has already been performed. So Meishav b'tok shloshim v'cheska shlonifta. If the father dies before the baby is 30 days old, you could assume that the pidyon has not happened, because no one does pidyon. It's not normal to do pidyon before the baby is 30 days old. That's only a rov l'chora, or a chazak dveikara, that the baby was not niftes. So and normally you can't be motzi mamon based on a chazak dveikara. So no, this is a stronger chazaka, because minastam rov people do not do pidyon b'toch hazman. I in all from mamon achar rov. Yeah, but this is better than a rov. The Rav Shimon Shkap explains in Shar Yosher, this is human nature. It's not just tam aruba delasa kaman that this is the way things normally are. This is the way people are. And when you have a chazak about human nature, a aruba delasa kaman about human nature, that's a much stronger kind of rov. That's sort of like built into the bria, that people don't pay early. So therefore, we assume that he's becheska shlo nifta ad sheyavi raya shenifta. We assume that the pidyon haben was not done unless you're able to prove that the pidyon Ben was already done. Now, what happens if la'achar shloshim yom, the father dies after the baby's already 30 days old? Baby's whatever, 32 days old, 35 days old. So, do you assume that a pidyon has already been done? Becheska shenifta ad sheyom rulo shelo nifta. Then we assume that he was nifta not ad sheyavi raya, but ad sheyom rulo, till someone tells us that the father told them before he died that the pidyon has not yet happened. That's all you need. Yom rulo. So l'chora from lashon ad sheyom rulo, it sounds like it's not real edus gemura, because even if the father dies l'achar shoshim, the chazaka is that it's the chazaka that it's, that the baby has had a pidyon is not such a strong chazaka, because the al pirov, a person is not parea right away as soon as the chov is up. There's some leeway, give him a few moments, a few hours, a few days, he'll pay a little bit later. So that's why Amira Bialma is good enough. That's how Rashi explains, that's Rabbi Gershom writes as well, that it's good enough with an Eidos Eved or Isha or Katan. Binyan Tzion writes in the Tshuvas HaChadashos in Simon Chav Beis that even though it's still a Suffolk, he's going to be Chayiv, because Dafka B'Suffolk Chiyuv we're not Motzi Mamon, but over here the Chiyuv is a Vadeh Chiyuv. It's just a question of whether he paid up that chiyuv, meaning when you have a suffik, whether he's chayiv at all. So we say motzi mechaver alav raya, you don't have to pay anything. But over here, you know that there was a chiyuv. The whole suffik is, did he pay up that chiyuv? Then we would even be motzi mamun. Then the Mishnah gives another case: who liftos, ubno liftos. What if you have a situation where a man himself never had a pidyon haben, and then and now he has a child, who a son who requires pidyon haben, who does he do pidyon haben on? Who called him livno? The halacha is that he should be poda himself first. That's the shita of Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'no kodmo, shemitzvah so al aviv, umitzvah b'no alav. Then no, he should do pidyon haben on the son, because the son is his responsibility. He is really his father's responsibility. So you have to say that we're talking about a case where the Kohen is not maskim to take it as a matan al menach sahachzir. Because if you're maskim to take it as a matan al menach sahachzir, so then you could do both. I mean, even if you only have Chamesh Shlaim, you should be able to do both. The Kohen is certainly allowed to say that he's not interested in doing Matana Al Manas La'achzir. In Shulchan Aruch, in Yerodei Sim Shin Vav, Siv Dalit says that a Kohen is not allowed to be Mesarev, to be Mekabel Matnos Kuna. He can't say, no, I'm not interested in the Matnos Kuna, because that's a Bizoy to the Matnos Kuna. But nevertheless, Chazanish points out, but you don't get to determine the conditions of the Matana. The Kohen has the right to say, yeah, but give it to me as a Matana. Don't give it to me as a Matana al Manas Lahachzir. Sometimes with coins, when they give the coins to the Kohen, the Aviyah Ben is giving the coins, very much wants them back. He wants them as a memento or whatever. So, but he can't make that as part of the deal that you have to return it to me. The Kohen has the right to say, I want to keep these coins. That's the nature of the deal. What you do see from here is that Pidyon HaBen is not only a chiyuv in Dine Mamanus, that there's also a mitzvah nesina, because otherwise there would be no reason to be makdim him to his child, because it's if it's pure dine mamonis, so you owe two people money. Meaning you owe money on behalf of two people. So what difference does it make? Right? There was a, if it's about a mitzvah, so mitzvah du kufay, I understand, you say his mitzvah carries over somebody else's mitzvah, but that's what Shari Yosher points out. You see that there's a that it's not just a dine mamonis issue, that there's definitely a mitzvah issue as well. This idea of who comes first when it's himself or his child is not only an Indian pidyon haben. I mean, we're describing it in the case of pidyon haben. This is a discussion, let's say, Rav Zilberstein has, that you have a man who wants to get married. He has one son, and he wants to get, and his wife has passed away, or he's divorced, and he wants to get married. He has enough money to pay for a chasana. His son is of marriageable age. He wants to get married. Who comes first? Who does he? Whose wedding does he pay for? So the Torah says in Bereishis Perek Chafei, VeYosef Avram Ikaches Isha Ushma Keturah. So the Medrash tells us Derech Eretz Shemi Shemesi Ishto V'Nichol Abanim Yasiyim Kodem Shiyisacheres. That if a person's wife died and he has children, he should marry the children off before he takes another wife for himself. So you see, the Midas Derech Eretz is to marry the children off first. However, our sugya says, who liftos upanol liftos, who called them livno? The Tosefta over here in Becharos writes, who lisa isha? Ubno lisa isha. Who called them libno? That he comes before his child, lisa isha. So the charetz estira between the Tosefta and the Medrash. So what do we do? So the Radal suggests that who called them libno is if he has not yet been mekayim mitzvah peruvu. But if he's been, and by Avram Avinu, he was ready mekayim mitzvah peruvu because he had Yitzchak, he had Yishmael. And according to some Shittos and Tanaim, two boys is already a Kiyum Mitzvah Peruvu. And even if you assume, like we assume La Halacha, that a boy and a girl is a Kiyum Mitzvah Peruvu, so there are many Deos and Chazal that he did have a daughter. Right? There's a sugi in the end of the first paragraph of Satsuba Basra, that what's the story with Hashem Birich Esavram Bakol? What does it mean, Bakol? So one day in the Gemara says, he had a daughter, and her name was Bakol. Others say that no, her name wasn't Bakol, she said he had a daughter. So that's why he had everything. He had a son, he had a daughter yet, so he had that. That's what it means. Hashem Birich Avram Bakol. So he had already a mitzvah peruvu. In fact, that's what the Sefer Imre Bina says. You know, how did Chazal know that he had a daughter? How did they know the darshana from the word Bakol? So that's what he suggests, that that if Avram Avinu didn't have a daughter, how could he go send someone to marry, send a shliach to find a wife for Yitzchak before he takes care of himself? He should take care of his own chliya first. No, it must be Israel Mekayim peruvu. And that's why, meaning it's this very reason that we know how to darshan Bakal. That's one possible teretz to answer the stira between the Medrash and the Tosefta. Another possible teretz is that there's a big difference between what we're talking about in our Mishnah and the case of the Medrash. In our Mishnah, we're talking about you only have Chamesh Lan. So it's not a matter of order of which one you do first. It's a matter of doing one of them and saving the other one for whenever you have the money again, but you don't know that you're going to be able to do it ever, right? So it's a matter of choosing one over the other. Yeah, in such a case, we're going to say, who liftos, b'no liftos, so he comes first. If a person can only either get married or have a son get married, but he can't do both, so then he's got to come first. But if it's a matter of order, like in the case of Avram, where he had the yecholas to marry off his son, and he had the yecholas to get married himself, he had the ability to do both, then in a chinami, you should marry off his child first. That's a very important chiluk. A lot of times we talk about these cases. Someone told me they had a shaila once. A guy asked me a shaila. He told me his wife was learning with a Russian balas tshuva, and she and somehow they were learning chumash or something, and they came across the mitzvah of pidyon haben, and the woman was pregnant. And she was married to a Russian guy, and she was pregnant. She said, "Oh my gosh, maybe I'll have a pidyon haben for my son when my son is born." And she went home and she told her husband, "There's this thing called pidyon haben, and this is going to be our firstborn, and you're not a kohen as far as we know." And the husband said, "Taka, I'm also firstborn. I wonder if I ever had a pidyon haben." And he went and he asked his father, "Do you ever hear this thing pidyon haben?" Father said, "No, never heard of it. We never did a pidyon haben on you." And then the father said, "Taka, I'm a firstborn. You know, you have generations in Russia that didn't have any Torah mitzvahs, didn't know anything. So you had who liftos, ubno liftos, uben beno liftos. So he thought like this is like a great application of the Mishnah, but it's not. Because the case in the Mishnah is you only have chamesh shloim. But Baruch Hashem, they had more than chamesh shloim. They were able to do a triple header of pidyon haben. Okay, so says the Gemara, Itmar, hapodes b'no b'tok shloshim yom. If you're poded the son within 30 days, does it work? So Rav b'no padu Shmuel amar ein b'no padu. Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Do kulei alma me achshav ein b'no padu. Everyone agrees that if you say you want the pidyon haben to be chal me achshav within 30 days, it definitely does not work. If you say I want the pidyon to be chal la'achar shloshim and the money's still around la'achar shloshim, that for sure does work. Keep pligi la'achar shloshim yom nisaklu amos. The machlok between Rav and Shmuel is what if you say I want the pidyon to be chal la'achar shloshim yom, but by the time la'achar shloshim yom arrives, the money's no longer here. So Rav amar b'no padu midadavi kedusha isha. Rav says it does work, just like we find by kedusha isha that it can be chal in a similar way. You're mekadosh isha with money now, almanasan should be chal in 30 days from now, even if the money's gone in 30 days from now, it is a good kiddushin. Hasam lav avgav nesach lamos have a kiddushin over there, even though the money is gone, by the time the kiddushin is chal, it's still a good kiddushin. Hachanami loshna. So over here also should be no different. Ushmol amra lach, and Shmuel will say, it's very different. Hasam biyadu lakacha me'achshav. Hacha in biyadu l'vtosa me'achshav. By the case of kiddushin, you could have been mekadesh the woman right now. You chose to delay the chalos for 30 days. But by the case of Bidin HaBen, within 30 days, you couldn't be poda the ben, and therefore it's not going to work if the money's not around in 30 days from now. The alpha gav the kaimel and the kolech the pligi rav shmuel sakrav yisrav shmuel bedini. Even though throughout all of shas, whenever you have machlokes rav shmuel, we always pass on like rav nisrav etter. We always pass on like shmuel in dine mamonos. Even so, hacha hilchsa kavase de shmuel. So it's interesting. Meaning, the gemara is saying, so you would have naturally assumed we pass on like rav over here because this, after all, is an issue of Isser v'heter. No, we pass like Shmuel, it's dine mamnes. This is an issue of Isser v'heter. Every mission we've had was about Suffolk Pidyon HaBen. What do we say? Hamotzi mechaveru alav araya. When you have a Suffolk Isser, we don't say Hamotzi mechaveru alav araya. Suffolk Isser, we say Suffolk daraisa lechumra. So well, what's the Gemara talking about over here? The Achronim raised this this question. What do you mean that that this is considered a Suffolk Isser? So the Ma'ari Korkus says in one of his answers that it is a Suffolk Mammon. But as far as the rule of Hilchsa Krav B'Yisuri, it's considered to be a Dinan Isser V'Heter because it also has an element of Isser V'Heter, and Rav was the greater expert in Isser V'Heter. So even though when it comes to figuring out the details, it's a Dinan Dine Mammonus, in the Klalim of do we categorize it as Isser or as Dinim in terms of who is the greater expert, we assume that Rav was the greater expert in an area like this. I don't know, I'm not sure exactly what that means, why that would be the case. Why would you assume that this is considered Isser V'Heter as far as Rav's expertise and not Dinim Amunis as far as Shmuel's expertise? But either way, the Gemara says this is a rule breaker and we paskin like Shmuel. So the Gemara tries to bring a raya. Tana and the Mishnah said, Meis b'tok shel shmuel, the baby dies within 30 days. Afal pishin nosan lekoin yachsu lo chamish loim. Even though you already paid the pidyon, Benny's got to refund it. Time of the mace. Yeah, the whole reason he has to return the money is because the baby died within 30 days. Hello, mace. But if he didn't die, b'no padui, the pidyon is going to work, even though you gave it within 30 days. So don't you see it's a raya that the pidyon works? So says Gemara, no. Hacham askin and di'isnu lemos. Everyone agrees that if the money's still around after 30 days, that it does work. That must be the case of the Mishnah. Tashmal bring another raya. We said that if mace ha'av within 30 days, b'cheska shalom nifta ad sheyavi raya ad sheyom lo shenifta. Now we assume that the pidyon didn't happen unless you can prove that it did happen. So you see that that even though the father died within 30 days, it's possible that it did happen. Says Marno Hasamnami Disnulamos Bainayu. Yeah, there is a case where it's possible that it did happen, and that is if the money is still be'en after 30 days, and that everyone agrees to. Tani Tana Kamed Rav Yehuda. They taught the following brisa in front of you. Podes b'no b'tok shloshim yom, b'no padui. If you do the pidyon within 30 days, it works. Amalei Shmuel amar ein b'no padui. Va'at amrit b'no padui. Shmuel said it doesn't work. You're telling me it does? Yalv gav de kaimel and karab b'yisuri, u'kshmuel b'dinei, hachachachachav asid Shmuel. Even though normally we paskin like Rav and Isser V'Heter, and this would count as Isser V'Heter, over here we paskin like Shmuel. There are a number of areas of halacha like this where it's not so clear whether it's Isser V'Heter or Dinei Mamnes. We mentioned on Shabbos. Tzedakah is one such area as Machlokas Rishonim. If you have a Safek Tzedakah, do you say a Safek Darais Lechumra, or do you say a Motzi Mechavero, Allah Faraya? Who liftos Ubno liftos? Who called them Lebno? Father comes before the son. Tanur Abar, who liftos Ubno liftos? Who called them Lebno? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bno called Moshe, Mitzvahs Alav, Mitzvahs Bno Alav, like we saw in the Mishnah. So says Mar Amr Rabbi Yirmia, Hakol Modemecha Deleka Lechamish Slaim, everyone agrees that if all you've got is five Slaim, who called them Lebno? Father comes first, he's called himself. My taima, the mitzvah didei adif, because his mitzvah is kodem, the mitzvah of his son. His own mitzvah, the mitzvah about him, comes before the mitzvah of his son. Ki pligi hecha di'ika chamish mishubados v'chamish b'nei chorin. The whole case is that there's a machlokas, is he has chamish sla'im that are mishubados, meaning he has since sold those properties that are worth chamish sla'im, and he has chamish sla'im of cash. So Rabbi Yehuda Savar Milva Ksuv B'Torah Ksuv B'Shtar Damya, the chiyuv that the Torah is mechayiv him of Pidyon HaBen is Ksuv B'Shtar Damya. It's as if it's a Milva B'Shtar, and therefore you can collect it from Karka V'Didei Azal L'Torah V'Mishabdei, and therefore his own chiyuv Pidyon he could go and be Torah V'Milukuchos, because there was already a Shibud to the Kohen in his own Pidyon before he ever sold those properties. But he sold those properties before the baby was born, so for his son's Pidyon it's not going to work. So maybe you should use that shibud to collect his own pidyon and then the cash. Ubahani chamish b'nei chorin parakle lebrei. Use the cash for his son's pidyon. V'rabbanan savri milva ksuv b'tor lav ksuv b'shtar damya. No, pidyon haben is not considered like ksuv b'shtar, and therefore you're not going to be able to collect from the chasam shavadim anyway. Hilkach mitzvah didei adif. Therefore, his own mitzvah comes first. He's got to use the cash on his own pidyon haben rather than on his son's. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah. Oh.